Well, if you haven't heard, I'll make the official announcement, I guess, that we have added to our family another boy. So we have four boys in our family. It is like crazy. I guess we're really excited, actually, because I don't know, we wouldn't know what to do with a girl, you know, at this point. but yeah, it's been great. And Jonas is, he likes to eat. He enjoys his naps fairly well. Even at night, he's been doing pretty well. The ladies love him, and I love him too. And he has a nice head of hair, which is always cool. And as a father, I'm in the process of raising my sons. There's this thing about, actually just yesterday, they were doing this thing where I'm sitting in the living room and, you know, they start doing all these crazy things. Like they start jumping off of the stairs and then doing like somersaults. And then they start standing on, like, we have these like little we have an inflatable cow, and they ride it around, but they start, you know, balancing on top of it, even our little one, not the littlest, but Simon, he starts, you know, balancing on it, and they're doing this thing, they're like, and a lot of times they'll say something, they'll say, watch, hey, daddy, watch, hey, look at me, and, you know, I can take that for granted. Sometimes I don't look. Sorry, guys. And sometimes I do. And sometimes I'm like, wow, that's impressive. And they're just like, yeah, you know. And they just like, they want to do it more. They want to be noticed. They want to have somebody notice them. And I don't know if you've ever felt that way. I think most of us feel that way a lot of times. Sometimes we just want to be noticed. Noticed by our boss. Noticed, you know, by different people, maybe a spouse, maybe a girl, right, guys? You want to be noticed. And sometimes it's with our father or our mother. And I think as people, as Christians, we want to be noticed by God a lot of times. And we sometimes feel like he might not see us. And we have to go to him. I decided this morning to kind of not focus on the Christmas story in the sense of what we already read this morning. I think it speaks for itself. We've talked a lot about it. But I want to talk about one aspect of God coming to us, okay, this morning. But before I do that, before I look at the main passage, I want to remind us of what we did with Advent this morning, the lighting of the candle. The word is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And I want to concentrate on this part where it says, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. For God noticed the world. For God notices you. He's watching you. He's near. So I found this passage, or I've been thinking about this passage for a long time. You'll have to bear with me because it's a little different to think about this passage in conjunction with the Christmas story. But hopefully you'll see where I'm going with this. And it takes place in Matthew chapter 14. And if you have your Bibles, you can open there. I would ask that you would do that. I'm not going to have the scripture up front. This takes place when Jesus is grown up. The Son of God has come. He's probably 30-some years old. And he's He has disciples, and this is just after he feeds 5,000 people with some loaves of bread and some fish, and he feeds all these people, and this is what happens. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. This is verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. So he's dismissing the crowds, saying, you can go home now. Yeah, and he sends his disciples on before him in a boat. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. So here we see that Jesus goes up, he goes and prays. He had a practice of doing this, of getting by himself and just praying with the Father. But the boat that the disciples are on is out in the sea, and it's just getting beaten by the waves, and they're not making very good progress. It says in verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Now that is not normal, okay, for people to be able to walk on the sea. We know that. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I, or I am in the Greek. Do not be afraid. Now, I just read that passage. For some reason, Matthew doesn't say one little tidbit that I want to highlight. And in the book of Mark, which is actually Peter's version of the story, it says that in Mark chapter 6, verse 48, it has this little thing that says, he meant to pass them by. Okay? Jesus was walking on the sea. And he's just walking. He's like, I'll just go to the other side. So he's walking across, and the disciples see him, but he meant to go by them. He just meant to keep on walking. But they're crying out, saying, whoa, it's a ghost. And he's like, no, it's just me, just Jesus, just doing something that you haven't ever seen. So I just want to point that out as we go further into the passage. Verse 28 says, and Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Peter's crazy. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. So Peter here, we have record of Peter being a brave man or something, saying, hey, Jesus, if it's really you, call me out in the water. And so he calls him out, and he begins to walk. He begins to walk. Now, Peter is pretty crazy, I would say. But then what happens? Peter sees the wind and the waves, and he begins to sink, and he cries out for help, right? And Jesus is there, and he pulls him out. Now, this may be a stretch, but I'm going here. So often, I've heard this passage talked about in relation to why do we doubt? You know, why, man, we can walk on water. You could walk on water all the time if you just had enough faith. And, well, I'll grant that might be true to some extent. I think it puts the focus on the wrong thing. Jesus says, why do you doubt? Now, why wouldn't he doubt? I mean, he's walking on water. This is very abnormal, all right? I haven't seen anybody do this, even today, really. Maybe there's somebody that has, I don't know. But this walking on water, I like to think of this as you know how God is doing his stuff. He's doing what humans can't do. Jesus is out there on the water. And Peter's like, hey, let me come to you. And he's like, all right, come on out. What is that a picture of? I never thought about it this way. But isn't that kind of a picture of like religion? Like, religion is this idea of us trying to attain to like God-like status, right? And here Peter actually does it. He's like, all right, I can do this. I can bridge the gap between me and Jesus, me and God. I'm gonna go out there and do it. And he has the faith to do it. He gets out on the water. He starts walking. And what happens? Inevitably, what happens when we are trying our best to go after God, to structure our lives around this thing of how can I get to God? How can I bridge this gap? How can I be like God? What happens? The winds and the waves come. We start seeing those and we sink. We realize we can't do this. This isn't us. This is a God-like thing that's happening. And so what happens? We cry out and we say, God, help me. And he reaches out and he grabs us and pulls us out of that water. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? You see, the thing with religion versus Jesus is this. Religion is this thing where we try to get to God, and Jesus is this thing where he's like a real person, and he comes and he saves us. He comes to us. You see? He comes to us. All of the religious systems of the world, all the major religions, you look at Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, all of them have these structures for how to live and how to attain to a certain spiritual awareness or spiritual, you know, state. Christianity is different in that Jesus, God himself, comes to us. That is the difference. That's the major difference. But it's not just these major religions. It's our own religions. Our own religions that pass us by. Think about the structures and the systems that we abide by. Is it money? Do we sacrifice our family for money? Do we sacrifice our friendships at the altar of politics? Or maybe you sacrifice your own life on the altar of power and control. These things will pass us by. And I want to make one point. The miracle in this story of Jesus walking in the water, the miracle is not that Peter walked on the water. The miracle is that Jesus got in the boat. Jesus got in the boat. This is the Christmas story. God, who seems so distant and far away, comes to us and identifies with us. He got in the boat. And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what struggles you've been going through. You know, I recently lost my mother, and I can ask all the questions of why, and this doesn't make sense, and all of these different things. Where were you, God? Where were you? Where are you? And he says, I'm right here with you in the boat. Whatever's happening to you is happening to me. This is the Christmas miracle. This is what gives us hope. It's not that we have to get out on that water and just, man, I just have to have enough faith to get to Jesus. No, he's come to us and he shows us himself. And he says, I'm with you. I'm with you through the windy, stormy times. I'm going to be with you. I chose to be with you, for God so loved the world that he decided to enter it as one of us and identify with us. Will you recognize that God is with you, that he came to this world, he suffered on the cross for your sin, and he forgave you of your sins, and he has bridged the gap between us and God. God truly has noticed you, and he truly is noticing you even right now. You may think that he intends to go across the sea right past your situation, but Christmas came. He noticed you. He entered the world with you, and he's right there beside you through all the struggle, through all the pain. I just want to encourage you, a little bit of a different take on Christmas, but remember, Jesus came for you. He was born on earth for you. He loves you, and God loves you. This is a remarkable, remarkable miracle, and I hope you can just take that for what it is and just allow God to love you in that way.